We had visitors today at church, and we've had some that have been coming to church for a while that work with me. They're from a different country. They're from South Africa, and the thing that the ones that were coming that are in Statesboro and from Cleveland, no matter where they're from, I never met them when I was up in Cleveland. Laura went to church with them. I was at the clinic, and she went to church with them, and they had service. And so I'm not the biggest social person there is, where I have to visit with people and talk to new people. But when you have the thread of the truth like we do, when you have that common bond like that and the understanding of the truth like we do, it doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter where they're at or anything like that. It's just you can sit there and be able to connect right away. And that is such a great blessing. I mean, the truth doesn't see anything. It doesn't know anything but what it is. It's the truth. And so it's such a great blessing. I thank the Lord for that. But I do want to, I'll share a few thoughts right here in 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat has taken over reign and has done different than his father. And he goes through there and there's two spots, two verses, verses 12 and 15, I really want to just grab a hold of, but you have to try to get down to them. And so we'll get there as fast as we can and get out of the way. But when you start this lesson, you start reading this chapter and you start understanding what is going on. Jehoshaphat has been being blessed by God. He's taken down the groves, the high places. He's not lived like his father. He's done things a right way. The Lord has been in a battle with him and blessed him and delivered him through it. Even when he was set up to be the one to take the fall, the Lord was right there to bless him. Amen. The Lord had a hedge about him. And so he was delivered in it. So the Lord is on his side. And then chapter 20 comes, and when chapter 20 comes, there is a group, there are multiple groups of people that are coming from every side to fight Judah and Jehoshaphat and to come after them. So there is a battle that is ready to come out. They're about ready to go into a war with more than they can handle, bigger, stronger, more people than they have. There is not a lot to look at if you're in their standpoint and say, oh, we've got this. It's an even fight. No, they're coming from every side. It's coming from every angle. And when you stop and you think about how we get to what the Lord gives us to be able to go out there and face the world, you find spots like this and you can say, okay, I got this. I get it. No matter how many battles you have, no matter how many hard times you've got going on, no matter what's going on, it's coming from every angle. The blessing of what leads up to chapter 20 is that you don't have to sit there and look around and say, well, am I not doing it right? Am I just doing something wrong? Do I got to change? Because he was doing it right. He was in accordance with the Lord. The Lord was blessing him. But it means that Satan's still out there, the world's still working, and is still coming at us. Amen. It means when you are someone like Job and you're perfect and upright man, and Satan says, I'm coming after that one. That it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It doesn't mean you got to change. You just look around and you say, well, you know, the Lord just blessed me through that battle. He can bless me through the next one. But a lot of times it's hard. You get blinders. We don't see that. But they're coming from every side and every way at him. And the first thing that Jehoshaphat does in verse 3, after he knows they're all coming to him, he said he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. The first thing he did when he heard that it was coming was he sought after the Lord. You want a lesson? You want to stop and have an understanding of what we ought to do when the battle's raging, when it's coming at us and the world is ready to come and it feels like it's coming from every side and every angle and every direction, is to seek after the Lord. And not just that, he went straight to the people. It says, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah and gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. A lot of times, we don't involve other people or the Lord until it's the 11th hour, 59th minute, and we've already been in a battle, we're already losing, and we don't know what we're going to do. That's when we decide to ask for help. That's when we decide to maybe go to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's when we decide to look to the Lord. The example is, they haven't even come across to start the battle yet. He just has word that it's coming. And he seeks the Lord and goes to the people, and they all go to the Lord together. Amen. When you talk about having, when we announce our prayer requests at, before service, that's what that kind of is like when we're going to the Lord together. You're putting those names out there that we can lift up them, that they're in a battle. When you hear of ones that are struggling or they've lost loved ones, the one that is passed on isn't in a battle. That one's at peace.
Amen.
That one has peace like it's never had before. But the ones that are, even if you have understanding that they're at peace, you have loss. And you have a separation. So you feel that. So you pray for them that they can have peace through it.
Right.
But what we need to do is we need to look at the example that we're given right here. The battle hasn't even come. We're not even in the fight. And the first thing we do is we seek the Lord. We ask for help from others and we go all together to the Lord. One example. It's completely opposite of what we do. What we do is we're going to say, I can do it. You know, I can handle it myself. I can make it through it. I'm going to do it on my own. I can get through it. I don't need anybody. I can figure it out. That is our nature. That's what we are by nature. It's what it is inside us to be able to do. That's how we respond to it. It's not in our nature to go to the Lord and to ask for others and say, let's all go together to the Lord. That's not our nature. So as he continues down here, he's going to pray unto the Lord. They're going to come into the court, and they have the battle that's raging, that's coming at them. And he starts to pray to him. He starts to pray to the Lord, and he starts to remember who God is and how great God is. You know, when we stop to think, look at verse 6 right there. He says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? We have to put in perspective of who we pray to. Who is on our side? It's not just anybody. We didn't just come here to sing praises unto anybody and to anything and to proclaim just anybody's name. Amen. Not just any God with a little g, but the God, the only God, the one that spoke it into existence, the one that said, let there be light, and out of darkness light came.
Amen.
That's the one that we came here today for. That's the one that he's saying, this is the one we're going to pray to. We're not, the world is not easy. You young ones, it gets harder and harder. They're going to face more and more. We know what's coming at them, but it's not easy out there. But the thing that we do know for sure is the one that is on our side is greater than all the things that are coming at us. It's bigger than everything. You imagine what the biggest and hardest thing that you can imagine to face, you can stop and automatically remember this, that God is greater than it. So the biggest thing we can imagine, the worst thing we can put in perspective to say this, I can't imagine this happened to me. It's so much worse than I can ever imagine. You can automatically stop and say, you know one thing I know for sure? God is greater than that. That's what we know. We didn't just come to pray to anybody. We didn't come to pray to a God that only did part of it and only did some of it and needed my help to do the rest of it. We came here to worship a God that declared, it is done. It is finished. I took care of everything. I am the one. I'm the God. I didn't come to ask you to lay out a plan for you to have a way to be with me so I could get your help so you could be my people. He said, I've got it taken care of. He said, I'm this. When you put anything to the charge of God that leaves it open, that you have to help him, that's not the one that I want on my side when I'm out there facing my biggest enemy, my darkest hour. That's not the God that I want on my side when I've got him raging from every angle at me. They had him coming from all different directions. They had him coming from everywhere. And he said, if it's the God that needs my help to do the job that he was sent down here to do, that's not the one I want on my side. But we can be thankful tonight that the God that we have on our side is the God that was sent down to do a job, and he took care of the whole job, and he said it is finished, and he completed it, and it was done. And we got to ride. That's how great it is. So when he comes down to him, he's praying to him, and he gets down there in verse 12, and he says, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. This little phrase right here at the end. So he's telling them, he said, God, they are so great. They're a great company that cometh against us. He says, neither know we what to do, but, here's one of those buts, but our eyes are upon thee. When we don't know what to do, the one thing we know for sure is we need to be looking to the Lord. Amen. When we don't know what the answers are, we don't know how we're going to be able to face it, how we're going to be able to battle it, how we're going to be able to fight it, and we throw our hands up and we say, we don't know how we're going to be able to do it. The one thing we know is but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes need to be looking to the Lord. When we don't know what to do, we need what better place to look to the Lord but to go into the Word of God and read His Word. Amen. Ask Him for answers. Where? In His Word. You don't have to go outside of it. Don't go into some book that was written by men and how do I do this and how do I face. The greatest book for the answers that we need for our darkest hour and our biggest battle is here in the Word of God. That's where we go. He says, he's telling them, I don't know what to do. He says, neither know we what to do. We don't know how we're going to do it. We're not sure how it's going to happen. He says, but my eyes are going to be on thee. That's the lesson. That's the first, I'll hurry up here. That's the first verse, that little phrase. Don't be afraid to admit we don't know what to do. Just remember where we need to be focused. Remember where we need to be looking at. He wasn't afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You know, that's another thing that we as humans, we as men don't, we don't like to admit is to say, I don't know. I don't know how I can get, I don't know how to make it work. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know how we're going to be able to face it. And when we say, I don't know, a lot of times we start to, the I don't knows cause your head to sink, your shoulders to slumber. And it reminds me of when Peter's walking on the water, when he had his eyes focused on the Lord, he could walk on that water.
Amen.
He could walk on the water because he was focused on the Lord. That's what we got to remember, is we keep our eyes focused on the Lord. We keep our focus on Him. I don't care how deep the water is, we can walk on it. We can get through it. I don't care how bad the storm is, we can go. But what happened when Peter turned his head, when he started to slumber? I don't know. When he got scared and he got caught up looking around at what was going on around him, he started to sink. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. He comes down a little bit further. A few more verses down. The Spirit came unto the Lord in the midst of the congregation in verse 14. And in verse 15 he said, and he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The Spirit of the Lord just breaks it down. Says, here, I'm going to make it simple for you. You know, what I love about the Bible is that the simplicity of it. He didn't try to lay it out and get real deep into it. He said, be not afraid or dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. Don't be afraid of the battle that's coming at you. He said, don't worry about the battle that's coming at you. Don't be afraid of it. He didn't say that you weren't supposed to understand that it's coming or recognize that it's coming. He said, but don't be afraid or dismayed by this multitude, this great multitude that's coming at you. Why? He didn't go into a lot of zigzags and long ways around it. He gets right to it. He says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Because if we are left on our own devices, if we're left to our own abilities to face what's out there, to face it on our own, it's not, we don't have it. When you think about what we're up against, you think about Job, first chapter, and Satan, and that conversation right there. That's the conversation I picture that, you know, goes on out there. And so then I would believe that they just go over and he doesn't look good. You say, what about Wynn over there? He's like, no, that's easy. You know, let's go to someone harder. You know, that's why he picked Job. You know, that's why he's perfect and upright. That's what he went to. He went to that and that conversation there. He wasn't battling just anything. He was battling Satan. That's what was up against. That's what Job was up against. That's what we're up against today. Sin and all that comes, that corrupt world that came with it. That's what we're facing.
Amen.
It's not an even battle. If it was just for us to battle on our own, we lose. We don't have it in us. We don't have a sliver of enough in us to stay in battle. But that's why he said it's the battle. He didn't say the battle is ours. He didn't say the battle is ours and I'll be there right there with you and we'll go. He didn't say it's ours. He says the battle is not yours, but God's. Because we don't have anything in us to contribute to God to make Him better at what the battle for the battle. We're not going to contribute to God in that battle. We put it in the thought of what He's telling them. He says, Be not afraid or dismayed. The battle is not yours, but God's. He just told them. He said, he just declared, we don't know what to do. He said, but my eyes are going to be focused on you. And the Spirit comes down amongst them and he tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Amen. He said, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. So when he says all of that, he didn't say, now sit back, kick your feet up, relax. Don't worry about it. You know, I picture this. It makes me think about when you say the battle's not yours, but God's. It reminds me of when you start to talk about people, about predestination and election, and they start to look at you and they say, well, so you don't have to do anything. You don't have to, you can do whatever you want and you can handle all that. And you can kick back your feet and you don't have to do anything. No, it just got that much bigger. You know what he tells them? The first thing after he told them that the battle's not yours, but it's mine. The first thing he tells them, he says, go ye down against them. He said, go. He just got done telling them the battle's not yours. That's like the picture we have of right there of our timely walk, that it's not affecting that eternal application, but there is things right here for us too. He says, go down against them. Behold, and come up. He says, you shall, in verse 17, you shall not need to fight the battle. Say yourselves, he says, but stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He told him, he said, you go out there and you get ready. You go out there and you get ready. But the thing that you do is you stop and you stand still. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Exodus. They get to the Red Sea. They get to the Red Sea and they got the army behind them. They get that. And their commandment is to stand still. Most of you all know me. I don't do good being still, going slow, moving slow. I struggle. I live in the South. And moving slow is not something easy for me. You know, it's not. But the Lord, over and over, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They got down there. They just got told, the battle's not yours, it's mine. But now you go. You go down there and you stand still. Why? Because you wait for that battle that's raging, that storm, that sea that's coming. You wait till the Lord comes and he divides it. And you get to walk across on dry ground. You wait until you see the army behind you be swallowed up and you no longer have to turn around to worry about what's coming behind you. Because that's how great our God is. That's how great he is. That no matter how big the sea is, he'll divide it. He doesn't make it muddy. Doesn't make it get, you know, you walk across on dry ground. No matter how big the armies are, no matter how much they're coming around, he says, it's okay. He says, fear not. The Lord will be with you. See the salvation of the Lord. Look around of what he does. And what happens? They come down, and I won't take any more time. They come down, and all the people start to fight amongst themselves. And they take each other out. Jehoshaphat and his people are standing up there, and they get there, and there's nothing but dead bodies. It takes them 3 days to collect the spoils from the battle that was all right there. That's what it is for us. You know, if we stop to look around at the battles which the Lord has delivered us through and has fought for us, and we don't even know probably half of all that goes on, that he has put a hedge about us and protected us. But if we could see it all and see all the spoils there are, it would take us forever just to thank the Lord for all that he blessed us through. He said, don't be afraid to say, I don't know. Don't be afraid to go to one another and go to the Lord and say, I don't know, but we're going to keep our eyes focused on you. Why? Because the Lord said, it's not your battle, but it's mine. Because if we have to rely on ourselves to battle what's out there, we're in trouble. But the Lord left us and said, I've got this. He said, I've got it taken care of. And we can go And we can thank him for it. We can have peace because he is the one that is fighting for us. And the Lord bless you is my prayer.